For those who are living out in the regular economy, and I suspect many of you are, I don't know the audience demographics, let's say, off the top of my head, but I would suspect that many of you who listen to this illustrious radio network are self-employed or, basically you're doers. But many of you are subject to the whims of this global economy that we have built for ourselves, myself included. Even though I'm self-employed, I am still not impervious to the craziness that's happening out there. Listen to this young woman's plight.
No, because it's the way I have a literal master's degree and I'm on my way to interview for a serving position. Because in this economy, as a post-grad Gen Z, I cannot afford to start a career on a first year salary. I've tried so many jobs in my field, and every single one I've had to take money out of my savings to pay my rent. I don't know whose fault it is, but damn, why is that the case? Anyway, my current job, I work at a Fort Lauderdale Beach bar, and it's open till 2 in the morning. And it's killing my quality of life. I'm trying to go work brunch. Do I want to work brunch? No. Any single time I talk about serving on here as well, they're like, oh, if you don't love it, then don't do it. Girl, I tried doing what I love. It doesn't work out for me. Name one person who is a waitress because they love it. I'll wait. I'm sorry if that sounds insulting. If you are in the service industry and it's your passion, I love that for you, babe. That's not the way it is for most of us, okay? And I do want to be a beacon of light or hope for those of y'all who are in college and you want to see how post-grad life is and how good it could get. Right now, it sucks for me.
All right. 2 master's degrees and interviewing for a waitress job. She doesn't tell us what her master's degrees are in. And given that she has a tenuous grasp on the English language and has been heavily influenced by what I can only describe as ghetto culture, is it a surprise to me necessarily that she's not interviewing for the job of her dreams? Nevertheless, what this young lady does represent is she represents something happening. There is something happening in the state of our economy right now. And I know that some of the older generation just does not want to hear it. But it is true. We need to talk more about the middle class and the upper middle class in America. Or rather, what used to be the upper middle class in America. Because in the 1980s, a working doctor, lawyer, accountant, or MBA could buy a pretty nice home in a prime metro area and raise a family of 2.5 children while the wife stayed home. But there's something deeper here that is not being talked about. Generally, this working doctor, lawyer, accountant, or business person would work 40 to 50 hours a week. That left ample time for sleep and hobbies. That left time for volunteering in his community. The wife had time too. The family had more time together. I remember this. I remember what this was like growing up in the 1980s. And I remember that my mother stayed at home. And I remember that my father was home a lot. He wasn't working the hours that I work. I remember I could almost always predict when he was going to get home, and it was still daylight. I'd be playing outside, and I would see his car pull up, and I would run and hug him and be so happy to see him. Those are good memories. And then we would spend the rest of the evening together. Maybe he would take me to soccer or baseball practice. Or maybe we would just do something as a family. We lived in a decent house. Some would actually would say that it was a pretty great house. Hobbies, volunteering, community. Who has time for that nowadays? Perhaps some of you, maybe if you've crested over the age of retirement or if you're in your twilight tour or something like that, maybe you have time for hobbies, volunteering, or community. What happens to communities when people don't have time for them? What happens to your parish when nobody will cover the statues for Passion Tide? Today, the upper middle class male working professional is working 50 to 70 hour weeks, maybe even more. Oh, and his wife, she's working too. This doesn't leave time for hobbies, volunteering, community. This doesn't leave time for the rearing of children. In most metros, a combined 100 plus hours of work per week between the two of them affords them perhaps an even better material lifestyle than their parents had. They have nicer cars. They have a slightly larger home. And they don't have to cook. They take out their meals. They even have better vacations, too, during which they're checking email constantly and never really fully unplugged. Essentially, this cohort of the upper middle class is now the upper class in material goods, but not in leisure time. This is the real truth. This young lady epitomizes this truth in a certain way. People who are educated are supposed to get better jobs in this country. That's how it's supposed to work in these United States. It hasn't worked out that way for her, and it hasn't worked out that way for millions like her. It requires over double the amount of working hours per household to get to this materially better but quality of life worse place that basically the upper middle class cohort is in right now. And the people are not doubly as well off. They're just not. So what they're trying to do, and I know many of these young working professionals. I know many of them. The husband and wife work. They're putting off having children. They eat out all the time. Maybe they've bought a house. They're planning to have children, but both are working. Both have student debt. And of course, both have nice cars. They end up falling behind materially. What about the people who tried to continue with the quality of life their parents had? One stayed at home to parent, to rear the children. And the other made time for hobbies and volunteering and family time and all that stuff. Well, those people have fallen behind. Solidly back into the depths of the lower middle class, struggling to afford student loans, modest homes, car payments. This is what Gen X, Millennial, Gen Z are referring to when we talk about a decline in family living standards. We either work all the time with a spouse who works all the time and try to capture that elusive slight upward mobility, or we pursue balance but fall behind into a downward mobility. And the end result, we are collectively exhausted and feel a sense of aching nostalgia for the way things used to be. I look at my old family photos from the 80s. Imagine you've got the you got the hatchback, you got the bags on top of it, and we're gonna go drive to Yosemite National Park. We're gonna see the Grand Canyon along the way, and we may stop actually in South Dakota as well, and we can see the presidents carved into the mountains, Mount Rushmore. There was no technology back then, or very little of it. Perhaps you brought a Game Boy with you, but even that got tiresome after just a little bit. What was more interesting was just being with the family in the car, driving across the country, singing songs and playing car games. Nobody called, texted, emailed. There was no demands, no summoning. You were truly unplugged from whatever it was that your dad did. And it was rejuvenating. That was a real vacation. Now we take better vacations, no doubt. All-inclusive, pure luxury. In the Caribbean, anything you want, but please make sure there is Wi-Fi at all times because I'm still working on this vacation. What I've been reading to you from actually is a group of threads that have been put together by a social media influencer in Texas. And she is a millennial who comments on the housing and economic situation that she's been living through. There's one variable, however, that she hasn't really ever addressed, and I don't think maliciously failed to address it, but certainly she has intellectually failed to address it. And it's the currency. It's the purchasing power of the currency, which we're all using. This is something I think I'm going to talk about more in depth at the Crusade Congress that's coming up. It's in Louisiana. It's next month. I'm going to be there. And I believe I am scheduled to give a keynote address on one of the days, perhaps Saturday. And I've been thinking a lot about what I wanted to say in person, perhaps that I can't say on the radio. And I've been thinking about practical solutions too. What's the point? We can admire these things, and maybe that's the point of talk radio a little bit, to admire the problem, to point it out and to describe it into Nat's details. Perhaps that's what some of the masters of talk radio can do. They can admire the problem. They can stand back and describe it to you in all of its facets and wrinkles and great, great detail. And to some degree, we have to fully understand the problem too, because it's not immediately discernible to us if we're not looking for it. But I also believe in solving the problem. I believe in practical solutions. I believe in giving people ideas that may actually improve their lives. That's what I would like to do as well. And I think that could start or could encompass this problem of our economy, which we are all suffering from.